When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Crosswires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Romesh Ranganathan and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.
Hello, I'm Matt Shawley, and this is Politics Without the Boring Bits, bringing you some of the best stuff that you might have missed from earlier in the year. Today, we're going all the way back to January as we examined which jobs the public thinks are harder and easier than being a politician. I caught up with Gary Lineker to ask him what was harder, being Prime Minister or a professional footballer. How hard is it really to be Prime Minister? How does it compare to the job that you do? If you are the Prime Minister, you get £164,080 a year, five times the average salary for a full-time worker in the UK. So, being Prime Minister pays more than most jobs. But how difficult is it? We asked YouGov to carry out a poll for us to ask people which jobs are easier or harder than running the country. Beth Mann from YouGov has been crunching the numbers.
Yeah, so we asked about a range of jobs, 24, and we found that only four had 50% or more saying they were harder. So in general, we can see that people do recognise the Prime Minister is a pretty hard job. And so the top one was a surgeon. Around 6 in 10 thought that was harder. And then it went nurse, firefighter and soldier, which all had around 50% saying so. I think what immediately strikes you is that these are the life or death careers. Like,
the stakes are high when you're doing those jobs.
Very high. Yeah, I mean, Prime Minister stakes are high then as well, but these ones very much so too.
And what about at the other end of the scale? Which ones are the easiest?
Yes, so we've got footballer coming out the bottom, around 8 in 10 saying that easier. And then, well, you've got the likes of me and you, him, you've got the office worker and the journalist, where around 75% say that's easier.
Unbelievable. Being a journalist is very difficult. Well, more people think that being a surgeon is harder than being a Prime Minister, more than any other job. So we're hearing 6 out of 10 people think that being a surgeon is harder. So I spoke to one of the country's best surgeons, heart surgeon, Kulvinder Lal.
I'm a heart surgeon and I worked at Barts for about 20 years as a consultant cardiac surgeon. And I would say that, as the more senior you get, the easier it does become. So initially when you start off, it is quite a difficult job. But, once you get the experience and do a couple of thousand cases, then things become a bit easier.
Do you think that part of the reason people think it's hard, is it hard to become a surgeon as much as they're doing the job afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, when you become a heart surgeon and a consultant, you often operate within your own envelope of comfort. So, and most of the cardiac operations, we do within that comfort zone. I think when, to train to be a cardiac surgeon, especially, it takes 5 years of medical school, then about 10 to 12 years in training, in which you're sort of sent all over the world. and work in different units around the country. And then, you know, once you become a consultant, that's when you start really becoming comfortable at what you do.
What does a hard day as a surgeon look like? What's your day look like? If you go home and somebody says, "Oh, how was your day?" Say, "Oh, I've had a really hard day." What's happened in that day that if you had a tough day?
Yeah, so I can tell you, for example, yesterday I went in at Bart. We do a 7:30 a.m. brief, so I leave the house about 6:15 in the morning, and then once the brief is done, that's when we decide what we're doing during the day. I went off to do an MDT, which is a multidisciplinary team meeting, from about 8 to about 8:30. Then we start operating, and my first case was a quadruple bypass. That was done by about 12 o'clock. Had a couple of meetings during lunchtime. Second case was a double valve replacement. That finished about 5:30. About to go home. Then I was on call last night. Got a type A aortic dissection that came in, and that finished at 2 in the morning. So actually, when I got home, everyone was asleep, so I didn't have a chance to say hello to anyone. That's a sort of, I wouldn't say typical day, that's a busy day, but that's normally what we get up to.
And I suppose part of the reason why people might be saying they think that being a surgeon is hard is because the stakes are so high. You know, if I make a mistake as a journalist, well, I suppose the worst thing that could happen is that we get sued and the company might lose some money as a result. If you make a mistake, somebody could die, you know, in front of you. Do you think about that every time you're doing it, or is that now sort of just baked into what you're doing day to day?
Yeah, no, you're certainly correct. I mean, there's no margin of error. It's very black and white. Either they do really well, which fortunately 99% of them do, but the 1%, if there is an error, or you know, if the patients aren't that well, then they do die. But you know, you kind of develop a really thick exterior skin, you know, and because I mean, I teach all of my trainees this, that, you know, if you become very emotional during an operation, you're not going to give your patient the best. So you have to become almost quite cold and quite clinical when you're in that situation. And then you can think clearly, lead the team and make sure that the patient has a good outcome.
I suppose, finally, to ask you, if you'd swap what you do to be Prime Minister, do you think your job is harder than being Prime Minister?
You know, to be fair, I think Rishi was put in a terrible position, so I've got a lot of sympathy for him. But, you know, it's what can I say? I think I will struggle to do his job, and he'd probably struggle to do mine.
If he came to you and said, "How can I sort out the NHS?" Given that you're right on the front line of all that right now, what needs to happen in the NHS?
Resource, just money. You know, purely and simply. If you look at you know, austerity, you know, the NHS to cope with austerity, but it's really degraded bed services and so forth. And, you know, it's got to go back to almost when Blair was throwing money at the NHS to get back to where we are. And that's all it is, pure and simple.
Do you think Gavin Lineker's told me, we'll hear from him in a sec, but he seems to think that politicians should be paid more. If we paid politicians more, we'd get the brightest and best. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly true. If you look at industry, private industry, you know, they pay top dollar and get the top executives and things. And I think that's certainly the case, that if you want really good quality MPs and people who don't have second jobs, then you should probably improve their pay. I know that's a bit controversial, but, you know, I think that way you'll get the best people doing the job rather than people almost treating it like a second job.
Without going through your pay slip, I mean, the Prime Minister gets, what, about 160,000? What would a heart surgeon get?
Probably about...
It's a rough ballpark.
So all consultants in the NHS are basically paid the same. We're all the same.
Yeah.
So it's about 100K.
See, that does seem like... Yeah, if you literally got people's hearts in your hands, that seems like maybe that should be a bit more. Colvin, it's really good to speak to you. I'm sure you've got another busy day ahead. Really appreciate your time today on Times
Pleasure.
Radio.
Nice to speak to you.
That's Govinda Lal, one of the country's leading heart surgeons, explaining, I mean, it's quite hard, isn't it, being a heart surgeon? No wonder people think it's harder than being Prime Minister. So after surgeon in the polling comes nurse. Lots of people think that being a nurse is harder than being Prime Minister. And then firefighter. So Josephine Reynolds is hailed as Britain's first female firefighter ever, and she agrees it's pretty tough.
It's very hard because there's so many things that the public don't really know about. You have to do a million different things. You have to be like a very soft person if you're rescuing a kitten. And then on the other hand, you've got to be as hard as anything, as really tough if you're running into a building that's on fire. So, and everything in the middle, and the skills you need, the training that's involved, There are, you know, there's a, I read something earlier that the only prime minister to work as hard as a firefighter, in my opinion, would be like Winston Churchill. He gave a blood, sweat, tears and toll speech. And that is firefighting. And firefighting is the road to victory in firefighting. Yeah, in spite of all terror, victory, however long and hard the road may be. So that is firefighting in essence. And everything firefighters do, once they start, they're committed to the project. Look at global warming. Look at the you know, it's a nightmare out there. And it's always the firefighters, first responders that get called on first to, you know, when we're stuck, we always call on a firefighter. Yeah. And then there's a million other things that go on as well.
What drew you to it, particularly as Held is the first female firefighter? You know, previously a very blokey job with lots of risks. My guess is that when you first started out as well, you know, we've been lucky. I think the number of people dying fires these days has gone down because people's mess and all that sort of stuff. But when you were starting out, it was an incredibly blokey, dangerous thing to do. What drew you to it?
I just desperately needed a job. I was 17. It was Thatcher years. I was just stuck. What am I going to... I wanted to have my own flat, my own house, my own door key. Be totally... I'm a very independent person. I hate being anyone telling you what to do. So, like, what can I do to get away from my family? Yeah, so I thought, right. And I looked at any job, and they just happened to have, you know, the advert in the Eastern Evening News, and it was junior firefighters, and I hadn't got a clue what it was. I thought, I'll apply and just see what happens. And that's what happened. So then 15 months later, they turned out a firefighter, and then, you know, on it went from there. Yeah, I loved it. Loved it.
And so tell me about a tough day as a firefighter. Yeah. So that you, a typical tough day that you remember.
A tough day will be when you get up and then you're on the watch and you go out to an accident, for example, and you might be there and it's, you know, they're very serious things. You've got massive lorries crushing a mini with a mum in or something like that, and you might be having a little girl on the side of the road and you're trying to make sure that people are calm, they feel safe, and that, you know, that they know that you're there for them, really. And that's... And the thing is, you never know from one minute to the next what will happen next. So you're doing that and then you'll get called out to a different thing, which could be a chemical fire, or it could be a lady back at the station with a ring on her finger that's stuck, or animal rescues, or suicides in the woods. So, but yeah, so it's very much the hard ones are very much the ones where you're connecting with people who are struggling. And, you know, all you want to do is to get them safe and sound and, you know, out of that instant area. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned getting cats out of trees. How much time does the firefighter spend getting cats out of trees?
There's an amount, but there's every kind of animal you can believe. I rescued a monkey at Thetford. We had this zoo, honestly, and they'd got tropical zoo, I can't remember what it's called now, but in the day, the monkeys got out over the A11 and they're up in the fir trees in town and no one can do anything with them. And in the end, they called the fire brigade and we caught them on the church roof, put the ladder up. My boss is like, Joe, you're a female, you sort it out. And up I went. And anyway, we fed this monkey loads of like grapes and whatever they said us to give her. And then the next day they'd like called it after me in the paper. It's like, you know, they called it Josephine. So you never know. But it gets from that. And a lot of it's quite serious because if the animals are stuck, if they're cows and things, you know, upside down, or, you know, you've got to act really thoughtfully and try and, you know, getting rescued as fast as you can. Yeah, animals are really hard because you can't like talk to them like you can a human, say don't worry, we're here. You can like emphasize and hope they realize what you're up to, but you know, it's not necessarily the case. But there is a small amount of that, but it's big, important.
And finally then, would you swap being a firefighter for being prime minister? Do you think that being a firefighter is harder or easier than being prime minister? Would you like the job?
I think firefighting is always much harder. You know, you've got risks that people know about, high cancer risks now. There's so many things that people don't realise that goes into a firefighter's day. And in my opinion, it's a much more difficult but much more rewarding job than any prime minister would ever be, in my humble opinion.
So you wouldn't like the top job? You wouldn't like to be prime minister?
Well, I don't know, actually. If I had the energy, I'd love it.
That was Josephine. Held is Britain's first female firefighter. Well, those are the jobs the public think are harder than being PM. And at the very bottom of the list, the job the public think is much easier than being Prime Minister. 80% think it's easier. Professional footballer. So naturally, we spoke to one of the most famous former England internationals, now host of Match of the Day, to fact check it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Gary Lineker, is it easy being a professional footballer?
No, obviously not. I think people have got slightly confused with the job they perhaps most like to do rather than what is the easiest. I can understand why they're confused, but the truth is, I suppose, compared with any other profession in the country, most children, probably more than any other job, would like to be footballers. Therefore, the fact that it's so difficult to get to the top in the first place suggests that it's certainly not easy. It's also, I think, important to mention that football is completely meritocratic. There's no paternal help. It's not a question of who you know rather than what you know. So it's unbelievably competitive. Thousands and thousands of kids are at football club academies, and only a tiny, tiny percentage make it to the top. So that suggests to me it's actually probably one of the most difficult jobs in the world, certainly not the easiest. Maybe they're getting a little bit thinking about the salaries, which is always something that's aimed at football. Doesn't seem to apply to other sports, but maybe because, you know, most footballers are working class lads, I don't know. But I would argue football's case is certainly not easy by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't know, when did you first think you wanted to be a professional footballer, and how was it that when you finally got there?
Well, it's a slow process. I think I thought about being a footballer before. Just about the time I started to walk, I'd imagine, but as soon as I kicked a ball around, so it was always part of my life. That old cricket, to be honest, I actually thought I had more chance at cricket than footballers, because cricket's easier than football. There's another one for it. But in the end, football's opportunity came along first, and it's magical. I still doubted myself whether I'd actually, you know, make it to the very top, but. You know, whatever level I got to, I managed to still score a few goals. So, you know, for me, I would say it's the easiest job in world because that's the job that I was given the gift of being able to do. But it's still hard. You know, you train every day. I know it's not the hours of other jobs, but you have to train really hard. These are very young men. They have to give up a lifestyle in many ways that most teenagers and young men in their 20s, you can't go out partying all the time. Some do, but they usually pay for it in their career. So it's actually, you know, it's not the wonderfully magnificent life it appears. If you get to the very top, obviously the rewards are astronomical, and that makes a big difference. But it wasn't like that in my day. It was a kind of gradual process, and in the end, I earned decent money, but it's obviously nothing compared to what it is now.
And in terms of, I was just looking down through this list of the other jobs they looked at: surgeon, nurse, firefighter, soldier, cleaner, chef, waiter, journalist. People think being a journalist is quite easy as well. What would you have done if it wasn't footballer?
Probably journalism. I used to write my match reports when I used to go and watch Leicester at Filbert Street growing up. So I always thought, and I was always interested in the media, and obviously that's where I am in the end anyways, kind of journalist in some form, broadcaster. So yeah, I think I would have probably tried to do that. because I certainly didn't want to work with my dad on the market. Way too hard work. So I think I would have wanted to be a sports journalist, whether I'd have managed to or not, I don't know. But the fact that I played and scored a few goals for England certainly helped me get back into journalism after my football career.
And what about Prime Minister then? So this poll, 8 out of 10 thing, being a football is easier than being Prime Minister. Do you think it looks easy being Prime Minister by comparison?
I'm not sure. I think I would certainly say being a footballer is preferable to being Prime Minister. There's a distinct difference between what's easier, though. Yes, being a Prime Minister is an incredibly difficult job, and it's a job that's impossible to please all the people all of the time. So that in itself is obviously extremely difficult. But you get a hell of a big team around you, don't you? You've got a big cabinet, all these people helping you out. Somebody looks after culture and sport, and somebody else does education, and somebody does foreign affairs. What do you do? You pitch up once a week at Prime Minister's Question for half an hour, and that's about it, really, isn't it?
I suspect there's some Prime Ministers would argue there's a bit more to them. Would you fancy the job?
Good Lord, no. just occasionally dabbling on Twitter in the political world is enough to put you off doing that. It's bad enough in football. That's incredibly tribal, but politics is even more tribal. But I'm interested in politics. I have been all my life. My adult life. But actually going into politics myself is... Never, no ambitions.
Some people, clearly, because you are, particularly on social media, you're quite political. Yeah. Have you ever been asked, have you ever had anyone approach you and say, Gary, have you thought about, we've got a little safe seat here somewhere?
No, I've never had that. I've asked him, obviously, political campaigns on numerous occasions, but no, I haven't.
And if they did, you don't fancy it?
No, I'd have to form a new party.
Oh, right. That's called, a good...
Yeah, centre-forward party.
Centre-forward. Very good.
There you go.
Oh, so you have thought about this. You've got...
No, it was actually...
You've got the logo ready to go.
It was a friend of mine that tried to push me into politics, saying, we're going to start a new party. You're going to lead it. And it's going to... It was in jest, I listened to it.
Yeah. And in terms of... When you're sort of being critical... there have been lots of people being critical of recently, whether it's been Rishi Sunak, Liz Truss, Boris Johnson. Is there ever part of you that thinks... Oh, it's a tough job. It's an impossible job.
Oh, no, it's a tough job. There's no question about that. And obviously, you've got to manage the budget and things like this, and everybody wants a slice of the pie. It must be incredibly difficult. And they've made it look incredibly difficult over the last the recent months.
And what about when you are being pleased? Because, we've all got a view on politics because we all, we all get to vote. But then people tell you, stick to the football, Gary.
Yeah,
whether it's you talking about politics in the UK or going to Qatar, whatever.
Yeah, it's invariably from a plumber or a taxi driver or an insurance broker or someone in the city who tweets about politics all the time. But I think the stick to football thing only comes when they disagree with you. it's an absurd thing. But now I'm like anyone else. I'm interested in politics. So if I give my views occasionally, and I enjoy politics. I've got. Podcast business now. We've got the biggest political podcast in the country, and the rest is politics, which is of great joy and pleasure. And we try to get people, agreeing and to disagree agreeably and stuff like that, which I think is something that we could all try and do. It seems to get so tribal and aggressive nowadays and divisive, which is a great shame. You can enjoy politics without taking umbrage over everything.
Do you think we'd get better politicians if they were better paid? If they were paid like footballers are these days?
Well, it's a funny one. I mean, you probably never get that through Parliament, but I've always thought that it's such an important job that I've always thought that if we could kind of tempt the really brilliant minds in the country into the roles, rather than perhaps people that are already self-made or their family's fortune or they're just, not all of them, but obviously some come through the ranks. But I don't think we really, really entice the great minds in the country. And probably a bigger salary would, but I don't think you'd ever get that through. They'd probably vote for it themselves.
Well, there just seems this weird thing. As a country, we moan about politicians. They're rubbish. And why are they better? And then
we treat them really badly, in terms of the abuse they get online, the sort of the nitpicking, the double standards and all that sort of stuff. It's a wonder that, the cost-benefit ratio of the money versus the miserable time you get.
I'd absolutely concur. And I suppose, politicians affect people's lives all the time. And in a way, it's not similar, but it's not as strong in football. But, footballers get... you have a bad game. I wouldn't dare go online if social media were around when I played. I'd do what I did when I played, which is like on a Monday morning, I'd buy all the newspapers if I'd scored a couple at the weekend, and buy none of them at all if I'd had a stinker. And I think I'd do the same with social media. But I think sports people, certainly footballers, because the fans care so much about it that they can be very abusive towards their own. Yeah. And certainly those of other clubs, as we've seen, in the same way that perhaps politicians are.
Yeah, they definitely seem to get it in the same way. Yeah. And what about your current... how are things at the BBC and your tweeting? Have you been ticked off about that lately? The new chairman seems to be cross about it.
I think I've been a very good boy.
That's good.
Yes, thank you. My end of year report was okay.
Listen, Gary, it's really good to speak to you. Thank you so much for making the case of professional footballers.
And it's a strong case, Matt.
That was Gary Lineker talking about how easy or otherwise it is to be a footballer. But what about being a farmer or a chef?
Well, luckily, we've got two people who know only too well what we're talking about. We've got a chef. We've got the chef off this morning as well, and cookbook author Clodagh McKenna joins us. Hi, Clodagh.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. Nice to have you with us. And he went from being on Emmerdale Farm, I know it's not called Emmerdale Farm anymore, but on Emmerdale Farm, to actually now having his own farm, Kelvin Fletcher. Afternoon, Kelvin.
Afternoon. How are you?
Really good. Really good to have you with us. So let's start with you then, Clodagh. Because you've seen hang on a minute. Hang on. I can see you both on Zoom. When we're talking about who's got the toughest job, Clodagh's sitting in the sunshine, looks like she's on holiday. Kelvin's got his dungarees on, he's in the shed, he's working hard. So let's start with Clodagh then, because she's relaxing nicely. Clodagh, tell us your hardest job being a chef. How hard is it being a chef?
Well, I started off training as a chef 22 years ago, 24 years ago, when I was 23 years old. The days would start at about 7 in the morning and finish at 1 at night, or 1 in the morning. You'd get home, get into bed, get up again, work 6, sometimes 7 days a week. And the hardest thing, there's so many difficult things about hard things about it. One is that you can't miss a day. It's not like you can call in sick and the head chef runs out to the table and say, so sorry, your sauce is not coming with your fish today because the chef is sick. The endurance there, you've got to really learn to work fast, to have a great work ethic very, 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 very quickly, because everything is so timed. So when you get in the morning, your prep has to be done at a certain point, so then you can go on to actually make all of this food for like 120 people or, a pack of the restaurant that night. And then everything is timed. It has to be finished, ready for tasting at 6 o'clock, so that when the guests come in, everything rolls. And then there's the clean down afterwards. There's the... there's the pressure and the stress of a kitchen where nobody is really talking to each other except for yes chef, no chef, let's go chef, this chef. And then I went on to have my own, I had 3 restaurants in Dublin.
Wow.
Where I had huge teams of chefs that were working underneath me. And there was nothing else in my life for that whole period of time. I mean, now it's different. I'm working on television and I'm writing cookery books. But
and you're sitting in the sunshine.
15 years. Yeah. Without any guilt.
No, quite right. You've done your hard yards. And when I think about a chef, you've always got like the Gordon Ramsay thing. But I don't know if you've seen The Bear. Is it on Disney series? It's just so stressful. So there's just so much shouting and throwing of things and people cutting. Is it really like that?
It is really like that. It is. I mean, every kitchen is quite different to how they have, their ethics and everything in a kitchen. And it's not, when I was training, it was definitely very, very, very stressful because there is no option. There is no option to, we'll finish this tomorrow. Everything has to be done and finished at a certain time. And every chef out there that works in a restaurant knows that you're only as good as your last meal. So every restaurant and every chef is judged on their last dish that they put up. So the next day is a brand new day. You're not working on what you did yesterday. You're working on what you've got to do today. And there is no option to be lax on any day. You just can't. You can't like have a day off and say, oh, I'm just having a day off today, or I've got to work slower today, or I'm going to be on the phone for, an hour to catch up with some people. There is just no time for that. And you've also got to get on with people. So you really rely in the kitchen on a team. And even if you don't like the person that you're working beside, you have to get on with them and you've got to work hard at them.
Well, particularly if they're starting there with a big knife. Well, I tell you what, let's talk about not getting a day off. You can't put anything off, long hours. This is being a farmer as well, isn't it, Kelvin?
Well, I mean, I've always heard that chefs, that there's a high pressure just from watching Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen. I can only imagine how tough it is to work in a kitchen. But I think I want to change my profession. I think just being a parent, certainly a parent of four children, is the hardest job in the world. It's coupled that with being a farmer as well, and somewhat as an actor. Yes, I guess I'm a part-time farmer. But what I've come to understand very quickly, me and my wife, is that there's no such thing as a part-time farmer. You know, whether it's our 100 sheep, or our pigs, or the 12 horses we've got. Ultimately, even us taking this on as amongst other things, as acting careers, it never stops. Every single day is a different day. You don't know what to expect. There's an element of, it's so unpredictable, very much like acting, I guess. You never know what the market is doing. So therefore, you've got this lifestyle that you've kind of bred all year. You don't know what price you're going to get to it. So it's pretty uneasy, but it's at times it's very stressful, and at times it's very lonely as well. Unfortunately,
and that's
a lot
thing.
Of farmers.
Yeah, there's a big thing in farming, isn't it? Loneliness and unfortunately suicide and actually just working alone. There's accidents and that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of time you are on your own. And, I'm out here today on my own where Liz is inside with the kids front in the house there with all the children. So we try and share it as much as we can. But when we're out here together, it's a much easier job. But yeah, it can get a little bit lonely when you're on your own. But it's not all negative. I have to say, it's grey, it's miserable, it's cold. But I can't speak for everyone. But since doing this farming, this new way of life for us, I can't think of anything else I'd want to do. It's absolutely life-changing. And it's hard work. It's relentless. You never get a day off. There's a lot of responsibility with animals. A lot of things count on you, and there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders. But I wouldn't change it, and I absolutely love it, and it's changed our lives.
Just finally, then, to both of you, because we've been asking this question: what jobs are easier or harder than being prime minister? Would either of you want to swap what you do to be prime minister? Do you think your job is harder or easier? You first of all, Clodagh.
I know the answer is no. I would not like to swap my job for being the prime minister. I mean, just to iterate what you've been saying as well, there is so much feedback in it. I mean, the reason why I fell in love with chefing is I remember the point. I remember exactly the day. I remember having a piece of local fish and putting it up on the plate. And I'd been sent out to forage in the woods that was right beside the restaurant to gather wild garlic. And I made a wild garlic butter. And I was about 26 at the time. And that was my first main course plate I was putting up. And the wild garlic butter was melting over the fish. Oh. And then I ran and got the leaf. And I stuck the leaf in a bit of lemon that kind of swooped over like an umbrella over the fish. And I remember putting it up. And the feeling that ran through my body of creating this beautiful plate and knowing that it was going to create a moment for somebody out in the restaurant. I was addicted. And that's what drives them. I mean, chefs get this feeling of creating and making somebody feel good and happy and giving them a moment. And also that the fisherman is happy and that connection with the producers and farmers. Like that we all rely on. I mean, we can't live without farmers.
Well, I tell you what, it gives you the hook.
So it gets you through those hard working hours. And prime ministers, I think they just get such a hard time all the time. I mean, I just don't get that.
They don't get to put a smile on someone's face. You've definitely made me hungry. What about you, Kelvin? Would you swap what you're doing? I mean, to go from acting and the Strictly dance floor to being a farmer, would you swap what you're doing now to being prime minister?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'd do a better job. It is. I guess it's a very demanding job, and there's a lot of critique, but I wouldn't swap it for the world. No, it's. I think what we do as a family is be together And we try and spend every single day as some sort of adventure, really. And this is what farming represents. I guess acting represents that as well. But it's the unknown. Yeah. And it's something that we've learned to embrace, really. And so, no, I definitely, I think for me at the minute, being the Prime Minister is not on my radar.
Give it time, Calvin.
Stick to what I think I'm good at.
Give it time. Listen, it's been lovely to speak to you both. Thank you for sharing and being so enthusiastic about what you do. That's what's been so lovely. And if you like that sort of thing, you're going to love my Times Radio show. Weekdays from 10, I'm back in January. But for now, for me, Matt Chorley, it's goodbye.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.